Okay, cosmology. Now, this could be an appendix or whatever. In, I don't remember which chapter, second or third canto, in the midst of the cosmological knowledge, so to speak, given, there is maybe two places, I don't know. There is a description of all different kinds of deities, devas, and how you should turn to them if you want certain powers or whatever. I should read that again, because it just struck me that what if this knowledge that we tend to interpret, because that's what it is, as describing historical events, this person was there and that person is over there and lives there and this mountain and that river and so on, that to us modern people who grew up in a materialistic culture where the outside world out there in the world of the senses is thought by many to be the only reality, right? So we take that subconsciously in, and when we read the Bhagavatam, for instance, we tend to see that, look for that, a world look, and it's here on Earth, or maybe, oh, it's on another planet, is it the moon up there? Where did it happen? And we're trying to place things like that. And then we try often to historically verify that it actually happened, and if it didn't, then oh, it all falls apart. If Jesus didn't exist actually at all, then Christianity would fall apart, wouldn't it? But just try this. That this knowledge that the people in those days wrote down or passed on through oral tradition, songs or whatever, and inscriptions and sculptures and all kinds of things, so star constellations, is not that kind of knowledge. Because it is compiled, written, or spoken in a different kind of cosmos, so to speak. A cosmos that, and people saw it that way, right? And they still do, many of us. A cosmos of life, the one way I've been describing here so far, where we, of course, God is the ultimate existence and individual and person, living being, and we are all expansions of God, like the rays from the sun, or the twigs on a tree. Then, as we're trying to see here, as I'm trying to see when writing it, the cosmos you find yourself in an experience, if you should describe it and act within it, it's not just stuff going on out there. In fact, the stuff going on in the world of the senses is a small part of the total cosmos. So the stories, the very stories of the Bhagavatam and other of these scriptures from other countries too, could be written from that cosmological point of view, so to speak. Not that now we're going to write some documents, some historical events here. Maybe they use historical events too, which is often being done, but to show something else, to do something else, to give us something else, something that changes us, that helps us grow, right? That's the idea of yoga. We spoke about these chakras and going upwards. And when Maharaj Parikshit sits down there, King Parikshit, who has been cursed to die in 7 days, sits down and he asks Shukadev Goswami, the wisest of the wise in those days, it seems, now what? What should I do? Then that's the first thing Shukadev teaches him, that you should sit down and you should do this yogic practice through the different chakras and meditate on the fact that everything, all existence that you find yourself in, including your own body, but also the greater world, are simply appearances of the Supreme Lord, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and this whole creation process described there kind of just paints all of it and how we are situated in all of it. And then when we see that center of existence, this marrow and the spinal column, you know, that axis mundi, and when we are centered and balanced and harmoniously, you know, in line with the rest of the existence, meaning ultimately with this supreme person's body like that, then all strength and happiness and health and everything is there, right? So that these stories given, for instance, that you meditate on that, you know, I don't remember it was said like that, but it was in connection there with the second canto, whatever, or third, when you do that kind of meditation practice, this yoga practice, at four different levels and different aspects of it, your life or existence here, there is a deity, a deva, in control of it. And I've been wondering, what does that mean, really? Now, is that symbolic for energies of different kinds, or is there actually a person sitting there controlling all of those bodily functions and all living beings all over? Well, what's going on here? But now I just saw it this way, that maybe these verses given there in the Bhagavatam are there to tell us that if you need something in that field, you need more strength in that aspect, in that part of your life or your body or your mind, then meditate on that deva, that deity, for those qualities, because that deity from the stories, you know, different gods and devas and all of that, they are described as personalities, as characters with certain qualities, right? So then you meditate on a person with those qualities that you need, and of course those qualities are what you are sucking up there, right? By thinking about them, by meditating on them. This way getting strength from that specific deva. Now, you may wonder, is there then ultimately a deva person, some god over there controlling all my, you know, the heart or the liver? Because they are getting into such details. But I think it's rather like this, that this deva has these certain qualities and characteristics that are part of the, or one of the energies, or certain group of energies that are powering this whole cosmic manifestation. And this whole cosmos is a mix of all of those, right? And then we can see people here on Earth who are more of this kind or that kind, you know, more fiery or more intellectual, or, you know, there's a Mercury, and you know, these, even the planets there are representing those. And the fact that we humans also, some of us are more clearly, purely, and powerfully representing some of those, you know, devas. It kind of leads up to that there are these archetypal beings, I mean, high in the higher worlds somewhere, that are actively somehow or other connected to what's, you know, powering this place. So, but the point is here, I think, I'm throwing it out here, and just interesting hearing if any response comes. But yes, why shouldn't it be like that? That this whole Bhagavatam is not there to give us historical accounts or this or that, or astronomical for that sake. But remember that the Bhagavatam is very high level, advanced, Amala Purana, natural commentary on the Vedanta Sutra. I mean, it's not just some moral teaching stories or things like that. It's advanced, and what could be more advanced than that level of actually freeing oneself from the attachment to the external world of the senses, and finding that strong foundation in life of Bhagavan, Mahapurusha, and eventually Govinda Mahapurusham. So that's the purpose of the Bhagavatam, and we should keep that in mind.